All right, here we go. All right, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular board meeting of June 27th, 2011. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Fraker.
Here.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Okay, we're all here. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Next up is the agenda. I assume there's no addendums or anything to the agenda. Was there any questions, comments, additions to the agenda from the board? Okay. Then I move we accept the agenda as submitted.
Second.
Move and second. Roll call.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Fraker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is the High Point report.
I should have said something there. My only report is that Kim Davis has decided to take another job over in Plain City. Plain City Career Center.
At Tolls?
Yeah. What's that?
She went to Tolls?
Yeah, I guess that's what they call it. The Career Center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, really?
Yeah, and the board decided last meeting that we're going to
Oh, you're not going to go through a service?
No. I guess a number of the more experienced people on that board have done it recently. So it'll be good experience.
It will be good experience.
Very disappointing.
Wow, no kidding. That's a big loss for those folks. So, huh? Have any other positive news coming out of the High Point?
The treasurer was within $11,000 of appropriations this year.
Wow, fantastic. All right. Well, thank you. Legislative report.
This week, Senate Education is having a third hearing on Senate Bill 165, which has to do with history curriculum in high school. It's a third hearing, possible vote.
Is that the one for the to learn the Declaration of Independence?
Yeah, the founding documents.
And the federal papers? And
yes. There's a companion bill in the House, but it's still, I don't think they've had any hearings in the House Education Committee. And I believe the conference committee started at 4 o'clock today. It kept getting bumped and bumped and bumped. And the last I heard, it was actually starting at 4.
Wow.
I don't know if that got bumped again.
They're running down to the wire down there, aren't they?
Apparently.
All right. Anything else?
That's it for this week.
Okay. Next up is public participation. I know I have one note. If anybody else wants to address the board, I would ask that you fill out one of our fancy sheets over there so we can track you in our super secret database. I'm just kidding. We don't track you. Kathy Alder.
I just want to, on behalf of MEA, kind of address the board about things that you are going to be deciding upon tonight. I've had the privilege of serving as the negotiations chairperson for the last 6 years in the district. Have had some wonderful negotiations with administration and the board. I think that over the past years, and even before I was even the chairperson, there has been a very collaborative relationship that we have had, and I guess the key word that I would say is a trusting relationship between MEA and the board. I think that there have been comments made recently and things that have been published that there hasn't been things that are truthful. We on the MEA side feel that we trust what the board is presenting, what the administration is presenting. We have taken action, we feel like, to help the district out. We understand that there's trying times going on all over. And I think that what we have decided and what the union has decided is to try to take that step to help out the district. We feel as though that we need a response from the administration and the board as well to take on some of the debt that the district is in, helping the district out. So we feel as though that we support the recommendations submitted by Mr. Zimmerman back in May, and we would hope that the board accepts the entire package as well.
Okay. Thank you. Was there anybody else that wants to address the board at this time? All right. And we're going to move along. Next up is the meeting minutes from our May 23rd meeting. May 23rd. Yeah, it's been that long since we had a meeting. Yeah, I was about to say. I was thinking about that on my way in. Yeah. Jesus. All right. Well, if there's no additions, deletions, or changes, I need a motion to accept those, please.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Greenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Baker.
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries. Next up is the treasurer's report.
Due to the fact that I have two separate presentations tonight, if you have anything on the items for the agenda, please let me know.
Meaning the expenditures or the financial statements?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Temporary appropriations or final or your estimated appropriation?
Yep.
You want to tackle those first? Did you guys have any questions or comments on those?
We can review those at all, appropriations.
We can.
Not at a high level.
Okay.
General statement.
Temporary appropriations.
Hold on.
Just a general statement about the temporary appropriations,
yes,
with respect to where we were in 4x4 forecast or anything like that.
I set them out for general funds are set by the forecast that was given in May, and the other funds are whatever we've gotten in or all the information.
Are we okay to move forward?
One question on that. Does the appropriations include anything to do with this contract that we're voting on later?
That it would.
No, because we'll have to make all the changes.
Okay.
There was an article in This Week about the funding for the state, and it might not be truthful, which I think you guys are probably talking about, and how it's been changed or exaggerated.
Those were my words. That's what you're referring to, right?
So I'm going to look at that right now, because we have not exaggerated any of those funds or any of that information that we've given to anybody.
When you say we, are you just talking about the forecast, or are you talking about the information that's been put out?
All of it.
Okay, cool.
The unrestricted grants and aid, what we've done, forecast, has been based off the information that we've gotten. The blue bars are the difference between the May of 2010 that was approved by the board in May 2011, it was approved by the board. The May 2010, we had no idea about what was going to happen with this fiscal year. The budget still hasn't been approved, and we're only 3 days away from the end of the fiscal year. And we also had not exactly sure what the state was going to do. We did know a few things. We did know that our enrollment was growing. We did know that there was a cap on some of that enrollment. And we did know that we probably aren't going to get as much as what we thought we might get. But that was May of last fiscal year. So the red bar shows the difference from May, it's from October of 2010 to May 2011. Still at that point, we did not know what was going to happen with the funding at the state level. We were hearing rumbles anywhere from 10% decrease to maybe a 20% decrease. Rumbles. That's all it was rumbles.
In August, and just to make sure we include that, we talked about 25% to 30%, right?
In August, we said that could be, but we didn't. But that was August. We didn't approve anything in August.
No, but we did look at what I think that same line item. I don't know the dollar values for those, but we had like $12.7 million is what we were looking at from unrestricted grants and aid, versus a 14.1 in 2011. We saw dropping down to 12.7 and 12.
Yeah, we were thinking it could be. It could be, but we didn't. We got better information in October than what we had in August. August was the worst of worst.
Right.
Okay. So that's where we're at there. So May has exactly what the governor says we're going to get. It doesn't have what we're going to get, what the House of Representatives thinks we're going to get, which is going to be another $75,000 next year, maybe another $96,000 the following year. Doesn't have that in there. It's only got what the governor has in there. And it's the exact numbers that the governor gave us.
His executive budget.
His executive budget.
Sorry. So I just want to.
Executive budget.
Just want to make sure we're understanding.
Okay. So that's where we're at. Now, this executive budget does not take into consideration any increase in students that we may have or had this year, because it's based on 2010 numbers. We grew 100 students this year. So we look at restricted aid. Restricted aid is two things right now. Well, three things. It's our SFSF, the stimulus funding. It's the Ed Jobs funding, stimulus funding, and our career tech. Our career tech stays about the same every year. It may go up a little bit. We may get a little boost because of something at the end of the year that we have no control over.
You're talking stimulus here, one-time stimulus money, right?
Why don't you hang with me, Doug, and stay with me.
I'm just asking questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about stimulus money right now. This has stimulus money, Ed Jobs money. 2011 shows stimulus money. We got what we thought we were going to get in May, from May to May, and October to May. We've gotten a little bit more than what we thought we were going to get a year ago, because they reevaluated what was left in the pot and gave us the extras to all the districts. So we all got a little bit more. We didn't know in May of last year that we were going to get any Ed Jobs money. And we didn't collect any of that money this year. We're using that for next year's staffing because we knew that stimulus money was gone. So that's why there's an extra $795,000 from May to May for next year. And from October to May, it's only $2,984, which could be a few students in career tech. 2013, there's a decrease in all of it. Then we need to start talking about TPPT replacement. This is our state funding that's supposed to be holding us harmless from the taxes that we all paid, or the companies all pay, prior to House Bill 66 back in 2004-2005. The last budget bill for fiscal year 10, which was passed in June of 2009, had TPP replacement being held harmless at the same level in 2012 and 13 as it is in 2011. Now in the new budget bill, House Bill 153, they have that amount being taken out at over $900,000 a year.
just so I'm clear, when I look at that chart, this actually isn't the executive budget. This is actually the House substitute.
No.
Well, because you're taking.
Well, yes, this part is.
Yeah,
this
I meant
part
this
is.
Chart is right here
this
because,
part is.
Because it puts back in.
Yes, because this part is because of the fact that they're getting us now. If we left the other part in, it'd be even worse.
Well, it would be a decline all the way down, right?
Yes,
because they're
exactly.
phasing it out. But
exactly, but this is what we approved in October
right.
or in May.
Right.
That's why I'm using what exactly we approved in May.
Right.
So with that. The numbers there, we would be losing $900,000, over $900,000 this year, another $900,000 next year, which we did not expect to lose in this biennium. Now, the reason the difference is from May of 10 to May of 11 and October of 10 to October of 11 is that the change in the way that they're funding it. Come October 2014, we were supposed to see the decrease start again. It was to keep us at the same level as 2011 for 2 years, and then the decrease would start again. Now, that decrease to start again, had they done that, would be a little bit different than what it's showing right there. So because of that, we're getting more money based on that decrease, and it's going up in next year based on the House budget version, and we changed that in the forecast. We changed it to show that the amount of money is going up, that we are not going to be losing the TPP those 2 years.
This doesn't take into account losses to our PI fund, though, does it?
No, it does not. No, it does not. This is only general fund.
It's just general fund. Yeah.
Only general fund. If we didn't keep on track and on top of all of this, we'd be looking at $2 million less. And that's exactly what we've been doing. Total change in state aid. From May of this year, or May of 2010 to May of 2011 is $697,000 difference. And the difference between October of 10 to May of 11 is $2 million. And it's because of the, mainly because of the loss of TPP.
How
when you lose
that,
it.
How much of that is the one-time stimulus? I'm just asking politely.
One-time stimulus is like $1.4 million.
Okay, so that's $1.4 million. And
that was already taken out of the budget a year ago, 2 years ago, because we knew it was only one-time money.
So are you asking that $2 million, Doug?
What's
that? That $2 million number, is that what you're asking?
Here's your number. Okay, I've asked politely since last year, okay, when we were talking 25% to 30% cuts, and I said, you know, aren't we in trouble? If they're talking 25-30% cuts, shouldn't we be looking at a budget freeze across the board? Okay, and I asked that a year ago because I was at High Point and we ran numbers at 25-30% cuts. Everywhere around, people were talking about we got to plan for this. Okay, so in August we did that. Okay, and we looked at it, and in August, to everybody's surprise, we were actually in better shape. I mean, here, I got a little graph here that kind of shows it. But this is where we were in July with our excess revenue in 11,
mm-hmm.
negative. I'm sorry, that was 09 December. This is where we were in the May 10th forecast. We showed up in August, all of a sudden we had a surplus.
It's because we didn't pay.
That's fine, I'm just saying. I'm just taking you
right,
through my
exactly.
history. I'm just asking questions. So at this point, it's like, well, I guess we don't need to consider budget freeze. I mean, things look good. October, we were down here, and that's probably where I made a mistake because I didn't catch it. You know, that maybe we should have been talking again because, again, we were projecting negative revenues.
We had information in October that said if you take out the stimulus money and you watch how many years, because of the student enrollment the next year, we would be getting more money from the state because of our enrollment increase.
Then when the numbers started coming out from the governor, and we heard that Larry was going around to these focus groups and telling them we were losing $1.5 million and this and that, and I clarified with you, are these the line items we're looking at? Okay? And you said yes. And I was looking at the OBM numbers, and they didn't match up with what Larry was communicating at all. And then the explanation I got from you was that, well, we don't know where they're coming from on those. We don't know how they're calculating it. They're the numbers that they turn. And so the expectation was that those numbers would change by the time they got through. Every time they change for the better. And when you look at those two line items, take out the one that has stimulus, that was one-time stimulus money, take that out, it's a $400,000 decrease from last year to this year. Now, you're looking at what our forecasted projections are. I'm looking at when somebody says 25 to 30% cuts, they're talking about 25 to 30% cuts from last year.
They're talking about that overall in the state.
So I clarified it again.
I took it from our district.
I hear you, Larry, saying that there's these large cuts out there, and I said, you know, my calculations, I'm only looking at, I can only see 2.5% cut. And he's like, oh, I wish it were 2.5%. It's 2.5%. When you look at those two line items, it's 2.5%.
If you look at just two line items, but there's three line items.
Well, you can't count one-time stimulus money as a loss. You can't. It's one-time stimulus money for a reason. It's one time. You can't count that as something. In fact, your August forecast didn't have it in there either.
It didn't have the jobs in it, no. Because we didn't have it yet. We didn't have it yet, Doug.
Okay, I'm just saying.
And it's not an exaggeration. These are the actual facts.
When Larry says that it's all of a sudden, it was like a bomb was dropped on us, and we had to react fast, and we've been talking about worse for over a year, that's a little exaggerated for me. People out there are thinking Kasich just pulled the rug out from this district, and we've been expecting worse all along. We have been.
I think the worst is the amount from that we're looking at in the PI.
And I agree with the PI. The PI is a situation that we've been asking about, and we get a little more information. And bear with us, maybe Jeff, you're more in tune, but we have never looked at the PI on a regular basis. So it's taken a lot to get up to speed on that. I've asked you some questions. You were very responsive, and I still have. And I'm looking forward to today's presentation because I am worried about PI. And I've said that. Anytime somebody's asked me about TPP phase out, I said, the general fund, if we stick with what we currently have, it's not bad. We lose 500 this year, 500 next year, and if as long as they...
900 this year, 900.
I'm sorry, 900 this year, 900. But when you add it into the state funding increases, it's a net of $500,000 loss each of the next 2 years. What worries me is the PI. And that's because we never look at it, and the more we look at it, the worse that picture looks. I'm with you on that. The PI is concerning. So is that PI going to find its way back into the general fund? Is that a concern, legitimate concern?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That's
absolutely. Okay. Anything right now, any of it is.
So the forecast we're looking at right now, today, does not have what that impact could be. How bad could that impact be on FY13?
We'll go over that in the PI.
All right. I mean, you've got to understand. I understand why you're frustrated by my comments, but I've been very frustrated because I've been very polite about asking these questions, and the answers I get don't line up with what I'm saying.
Well, to me, a $2 million loss in money is not an exaggeration, and it's there. I mean, it's the same amount, practically, as what we've been looking at all along. We've been looking at it. It goes up and down a little bit, but it's still there. It's a $2 million loss no matter what we do. There's copies of this up here.
So, just so I'm clear, you still feel that that was an exaggeration?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
So you don't feel the district was truthful on it, or you just feel that it was?
I pressed me on it. I used the word exaggerated for a reason, because I'm not going to call anybody a liar here. I'm not going to say anybody has an agenda. I'm just saying the message.
I'm pressing you on it, because when you make a comment like that in the paper,
Jeff,
without clarifying, look, if you're telling them, look, the comment you made was, look, I can see why that contract is up, because the numbers they talked about were exaggerated.
Yep.
I mean, I can read you that. Well, that when I read that, it means they weren't being truthful when they put those numbers out there. If that's what you're saying, I'm just trying to clarify your comment. If that's what you're saying,
that's,
that...
I am saying that, though.
You're saying that the district has not been truthful.
I'm not saying the district. I'm saying whoever's been out... Cindy's numbers have been right on every time I've asked her, so I'm not saying she. I'm just saying that the message has been out put out there, not by this board, because we don't put out those messages, but all the little road shows that have been going on, that message has been exaggerated.
So is that by everybody in the road show, then, because the county was out there? So if you're saying that Steve Stolte stood up there and Dave Burke stood up there and they were all exaggerating...
No, not at all. I don't remember them talking about our budget.
I don't know. You were at a couple of them. Did Dave Burke say anything about ours? He was very clear that
it
wasn't
a presentation.
Yeah, he took of what Larry was telling him, maybe. But I mean, and in the TPP, this no different than what our resolution was.
Right.
So I mean when you're talking about that the TPP phase out and the $900,000 a year, it is what it is. It's $900,000 a year, and it's kind of hard to exaggerate that figure. But when you talk about the net that the governor is sticking, all of a sudden stuck it to us, and then all of a sudden that...
I think the point was that we weren't expecting the TPP loss. So we were supposed to be expending 2 years.
We were expecting worse. When you look at the net state funding, we were expecting worse.
Right, but we didn't have to deal with it in a four-month window.
But we were told it was coming with the next biennium. That's the point.
Right, but see, there's a planning period in it.
We got more money than what we expected. Yeah. Unless there was some gap in there where you guys got some news where you thought it was going to be better than what everybody's telling us.
Yeah, we did get more money in our foundation money. And that showed it in that. But it's not exaggerated on what we're getting.
But the net is better. I mean, in August, we were looking at $3.5 million loss. And how is, even when you roll in the stimulus loss, how is that worse? $2 million than $3.5 million. I mean, we're losing, from a state funding
but
point of view.
But we aren't exaggerating it. That's what we're saying. And that's what you're saying is that it's an exaggeration. These are the numbers.
Well, I guess maybe I talked to too many people in the public that had gotten the wrong impression. And I guess maybe that's their fault.
All right. Moving on.
Sure, everybody understands that there are three funds that I'm going to talk about. Permanent improvement, which is the PI, the 5 mil levy, tax increment financing, because that goes right along with it, and the bond retirement fund. And a lot of these, I'm not going to go into a lot. There's a lot of information here. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on some of these slides. I just want you to know what it is. Permanent improvement money is a specified district levy, and that's what this is. According to our USAS, our Uniform School Accounting System, it's a fund provided for all transactions related to acquiring, constructing, improving, permanent improvements, and our levy language said that, ongoing permanent improvements. Where do the funds come from? We have a 5 mil levy that was passed back in the 90s, and then it was made into a continuing early 2000s. So that means it's on the books forever now, at 5 mils. Over the last few years, where our residential ag values have dropped by over 1.9 mils. There's a couple spots that you're going to see on the chart there that with the arrows that show in 2007, 2008, the millage rates were even less than what they are today. And that's based because our values were higher than what they are, and so the millage dropped. Revenue breakdown on actuals. Fiscal year 08 through the budget year of fiscal year 15. I don't know, you probably can't see the flag there, but you can grasp. TPP, we've got homestead and rollback. Taxes are our real estate, our TPP, the public utility tangible, Then you've got homestead rollback, TPP replacement, and then other. Other are just miscellaneous items that happen to come back in.
I didn't think the rollback for PI stopped after 2 years. The TPP reduction, I thought that continued.
Right now, they're saying everything is, but I'm not sure, Jeff. But that's how I projected.
Okay, I thought they handled those separately, but I don't
they know. Did. But I thought they were going to stop those also with all the other ones. But I could be wrong. I haven't seen the actual language, and that's been one of those that we're not so sure, one way or the other.
You heard one way or the other.
So the stop. The TPP loss is $250,000 each year for the next 2 years. If it does go out over the 4 years, then that's a full million that we'll be losing. So it makes this even worse than what it looks like. Our expenditures of funds on permit improvement, purchase services are mainly our repairs. Doug had a lot of questions about last year to this year, fiscal year 10, actual to fiscal year 11. We didn't do a lot in 10, or they were budgeted to be done in 11 for 10, and so they were paid for in 11. The purchase services are repairs, things like our asphalt. A contractor comes in putting in new flooring. The asphalt was a big one last summer around the district. We did several different projects. We did new flooring in almost every building. We had some water meters that we had to replace, and then I've listed it on the next slide. Fiscal year 11, we had 2 years of in the equipment. We had 2 years of purchase of computers. Usually, James got everything at the end of the fiscal year for the following year, so I'm breaking that cycle for everybody, and we're buying within the fiscal year that we're in instead of waiting until the end of the year and then buying it for the next year. So I'm breaking those. Then we've got debt payments and transfers to the bonds, auditor and treasurer's fees, our county auditors and treasurers, and the state for collecting our taxes. Get paid, so that's how it's paid. So those are the items.
Hey Doug, did you happen to bring those lists of questions you had asked? I just want to make sure at the end of this we cover those, because I know Tracy
there
had
a couple
question
that
about
you had asked about, and I don't think she did answer those, but I think they're unrelated to PI, and I totally forgot what they were.
I think I might have it.
Okay. I just want to make, I know Tracy said you were interested in answering those. I just want to make sure that the fact we covered it.
I might have them. Yeah, I might. I think those were all the items for the PI. He was asking about the equipment. He was asking about the purchase services.
Yeah, you definitely answered all the PI.
Okay, well that's what I was concerned about.
Yeah, okay. Now, when I was looking at this and starting to prepare for this, I looked and saw one thing. We have OASBO OASBO pool, which is another leasing options that we were approved years ago. And because of having the TIF now, we're going to be taking, instead of paying them out of RPI levy, we're going to pay them out of the TIF. So that'll help.
What is the OASBO pool?
It's leased items for improvements to the buildings. And I think we did some of those through, they were House Bill 264 that we, that's how we financed those, some of them. They were just different projects that they did years ago. So, for the PI totals, it looks much better than I thought it was going to. A, because we're looking at, well, I haven't taken all the bond payments out of it. As you saw, we stopped taking any bond payments out. Not sure how much we can afford to move to the bond accounts with all the projects that we really need or what we really want to do. Also, because of taking the OASBO pool out of the PI levy, paying for that, it makes it look better. So I've given you all copies of the PI forecast, so that sort of gives you that idea of where that those numbers are coming from as far as the revenue, expenditures, and then the bottom line on the balance. It still doesn't give us a very big bottom balance in fiscal year 15 or 16 if we keep spending with the way that we're doing things. So we really need to look at what we're doing in PI.
But if they extend the TPP takeout past 2 years, we'll be in the negative out there.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. So for the assumptions, I've put in there OASPA pool debt has been removed to the, from the PI to the TIF. There are areas of expenditures that need to be decided on how much before we can start transferring money from the PI to the bond retirement. Building and equipment are not being, they're not being repaired, they're not being replaced like they have been in the past. Because we have lost the PI, we have lost the money from the tangible personal property tax, the growth there. We don't have that growth anymore. We need to discuss the projects. Just so that you know, Jeff Wargo and Mike White go out to the buildings, talk to the principals every spring, probably start in January, February, say, what do you need? What projects do you think that we really need to do for your buildings this year? They do that. They go into what needs to be done. Then they bring it to Larry and I, and we meet for 3, 4, 5 hours at times looking at things. Okay, how much is this going to cost? Can we afford it? Then once we get through those, I look back at the numbers, go back in and say, can we afford those items? If not, we've got to prioritize which ones have to be done. So that's the PI. Before I go any further, anybody have any questions on that? Okay. What's a TIF? Tax increment financing, an economic development tool that municipalities use to stimulate private investment development targeted areas.
Sorry.
Okay.
So just to make sure I'm understanding this right, so we are okay for the next couple of years in PI?
Yes, right now we are. Because I haven't taken any debt out.
Can you clarify that, please?
Well, I haven't I've taken some debt out, but not as much as what they want us to take out.
So what's hanging out there then if you're not taking that much debt out? Then you're moving that debt over to the TIF?
Either to the TIF or to the debt route.
To the county to have to figure out how to...
And we'll get to that.
Okay.
So we'll get around.
That's the exciting part.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get around to that. It looks better right now, but it could be worse. So we'll get to that part in a little bit. A TIF, anybody that went into a TIF prior to 2008, if you had any type of abatements or TIFs or anything like that, those values stayed off your state foundation money, foundation values that they use to figure your foundation. So by doing that, it helped the city, it helped the school district. So the agreement with the city was back in 2004. And it was on residentials. There's several areas of residential TIFs. There are several areas of commercial TIFs within the city. What a TIF does is everybody just pays their tax as such, and then that's given to the city, and between the two, they divvy it up, and through our agreement, that's how it's figured. So right now, we didn't have any money in any TIFs until 2007, fiscal year 7. I think we received a little bit in the fall of 2006 and the remainder in 2007. And so then we started looking at things, how we can do things and pay them out through the TIF and where we can use that money to the best of our use. What? Those were the first 5 years, and then now for right now, the budget. We have about not quite $500,000 as our new balance for this year. I use actual because we're done paying everything out of it for this year. So if we receive $790,000 with that payment, we can use transfer $1 million over to bond and still have a little bit left in the file, in the fund balance. We could move it all if we wanted to. We could keep a little bit just to be on the safe side. But that's something that we just need to discuss. And so I've sort of moved it out $700,000 just as an estimate to see what it does over the next 4 years for us for the TIF.
What was the, I know the original reason behind doing TIFs, but what was, did we have an intended, back then, did we have an intended purpose?
I believe it was supposed to be permanent improvement and debt payments.
Yeah, TIF was to pay off our debt.
I thought we did like some certificates of participation type thing where we got some dollars. I mean, you would know. I remember having long discussions about that back then, and somehow that I don't.
Certificates of participation were the selling of the notes.
Okay.
And that's what those were. Those were, had nothing to do with actual TIF dollars. And that's what how we sold some of the bonds and all. The selling of the notes so that we could pay for the bonds were through with what we thought we were going to get from the TIF. So that's why, and then once they went into certificates of participation, then they sold them as notes, and then they put them into bonds. So
then we used TIF money to pay off.
Yeah, now we use TIF money to pay off.
So was the original intent to get that those bonds with that those TIF dollars?
Yeah, the savings.
Okay. And those bonds were specifically for?
Buildings.
Okay.
Buildings. Got
that's
buildings.
That
guy's
what
yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's. So, TIF has base components, but it has the base that was original of that the properties that were out there. So, the calculations for that should be a base. Then people started purchasing. Either houses would be built on the TIF property or. Or restaurants were built on the TIF property or car lots or things like that. So then that amount was used. Well, the base should never have changed. The base should have always been the same. So what we found, the new county auditor, Andrew, has found some problems. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I do believe that we will be receiving more tax money from the city for these TIFs, so we may be better than what we thought. But what happened was the base of what was being sent to the people that had owned the properties was moving, and it should never have moved. It should have been at a constant. And the difference between the base, because that would have went out to everybody, but the difference between the base and what it actually is should have been the TIF amount. Went to the city and then the city distributed it. So Andrea's been working on that. We haven't had a chance to really talk about it, but that's a component of the TIF that we've been saying all along. Something's wrong here. We aren't getting as much money as we should be getting, and the city's been doing the same thing. Their TIF is based, you know, their notes is based on that TIF money and all. So they need to make sure that those values are correct, or they could be in just as much trouble as we are with their debt. So. The next piece to this puzzle is bond retirement fund. How the permanent improvement fund, TIF, and the bond retirement all affect each other. What is bond retirement? It's debt.
actual amount of debt that's outstanding could be scheduled over 28 to 40 years. I changed it to 40 years because there's a new law that you can levy debt out 40 years now. So if you're building these buildings, you can levy debt 40 years out. So the buildings will last 40 years, so hopefully. So it also limits the debt. It's based on the sale of the bonds and the voted bond tax levy. And when the vote is made by the people, it's an estimate on the millage rate. Most of them said 3.7 was the estimate on the millage, except for the one that was voted in August of 2005, and it said 5.2. As you can see, these are the millage rates that are being collected on each of these bond levies. The 86 and the 87 bond levies are no longer being collected on. The 95 and the 98 have been done a little bit differently, but we're still collecting on those. And then the 2000 and the 2005 we're collecting. It was at 3.7, and now we're collecting at 5.2 mils. But none of them are the full voted millage.
What's the full voted amount on all those?
2005 is 5.2 is what it was said, and the estimates on the other ones were 3.7.
So 9?
Yeah.
It's voted 9, and we're collecting 5.2 is what I'm asking.
And just, yeah, it, yes, exactly. A little bit more than 9.
Okay.
A little bit more than 9.
Okay.
And remember, that's just an estimate.
Right.
Because those can go up and down. Okay. So, when we look at the millage rates, they're not being collected. But when you look at what was given to the districts back when the buildings were going in place, they thought TPP was going to be there forever. TPP has growth. No other levy has really any growth. But so the values back in the night, and I didn't put all the numbers in there. If you look at 99, the ballot for 98, and you look at 2011, it's $687 million. In 2000, it was $977 million. In 2005, $996 million is what they're thinking. And today, it's $688 million. So with that, our millage rate is basically the same as what it was back in 1998, of what they thought it was going to be. They didn't think anything about, they didn't consider some of the commercial, industrial, all the things going on. They couldn't see it any more than we could see it. And really, when I was looking at all the information, they gave a 1 to 2% increase in values each year, unless it was an evaluation year or a triennial update, then they might have put in 4 or 5%. But it was very conservative. They were very conservative estimates on those. So, what's this mean? As the millage rates, or as the values go up, the taxes should be more. And in 2011, we're now collecting less tax than what we did in 2005. So, we need $8 million. We have $8 million in debt, over $8 million in debt for the next 20 years that we need to pay. Some of these can be refinanced. Some of the debt issues can be refinanced late next year, which means if we refinance them, that it would, they could, redo them a little bit. Maybe our interest rate could go down. We could move it out a little bit longer, things like that. But we could refinance some of the debt issues next year. So $8 million and we're only collecting $5 million in taxes. So there's other areas that are supplementing. We got the PI levy, the TIF. We didn't talk about Scott's payment. We up until in 2 years. We've got this year, this the next two fiscal years. We had $220,000 twice a year from Scott's. Unfortunately, I have to ask for it every time I need it, or they're supposed to give it to us in June and September. And oh yeah, I forgot. So I haven't gotten our $220,000 yet this month. So hopefully we'll get it. I don't think that we'll make it before we close out the books, but maybe. So those are the areas, and then the whole harmless payment. So here's basically the bond retirement forecast for the next 4 years. We have $67,000 left in our balance this year, showing the transfers from the TIF. I did not show the transfers from the PI. That's the one area that we need to look at. But even if we look at, I think, the transfers there from the PI, we're still, by fiscal year 14, still going to be in the red with our debt. So, this one I went to and looked at what would happen if we transferred the money to the from the PI. Of what was in our forecast from the PI. We're still looking, 2014, we're going to be in the red, based on only collecting 5.2 mils. You cannot default on a bond. You cannot default on a bond. Options for the bond retirement. Keep using PI. TIF funds, totally whatever we get every year goes in there. No balance left. And then the county auditor has the authority to increase our millage to pay for the bonds. In fact, they have to. Okay. This one here shows what happens if we don't use anything else, the millage that we need to increase for the debt. If we only use what we're bringing in and the make good payment from the state. And the problem with the make good payment from the state, this is the first time we're talking about this. Make good payment from the state was based on the 2004 amount of that we were bringing in. It was based on the values at the time, and it was based on the collected millage rate at the time. When the bonds were set and put into place, they were based on TPP going up every year. So there was no growth when they set the amount of the replacement for the loss of any type of growth that might have been considered in the bond payments. So how they could have done it, I'm not sure, but that's the way it is. TPP, we knew that was going up, and so the bonds were set, and that's what all the bond ratings agencies were doing at the time. Everybody was doing it at the time. So you're looking at 9.6 mils. And these are calendar year totals. Now, these look a little bit different than what are in my forecast because they do everything on calendar year. I have to do everything on fiscal year because you make your big payment in December for the tax year because you've collected all the taxes for the year, for the calendar year. Now.
So just so I'm clear, this chart shows that if all we did was just say we were going to pay off our bonds with the millage rate, that would bump our millage rate from 5.2 up to, they would max it out basically.
9.6. There is no maxing really because the estimate, it's just an estimate at 3.7. If you need more, they can go up more.
Oh. Okay.
It's just an estimate on that bond language.
Gotcha. And this would, in effect would mean we wouldn't use TIF dollars for it. And we wouldn't use PI dollars for
right.
it, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, this one here shows that if we did the PI, the make good payments for the state, and then the PI, take that in, and then projected make good PI levy, I think, and I haven't had a chance to, because I was looking at this and I'm like, wait a second, I think this is in there twice, that this is, if you take that out, add an extra mil to the 2011 and 2012, and 3/4 of a mil to 2013 and 14, and 0.5 mil to 15 and 16. Because a mil right now is $688,000 for us. So, 0.834, but if you add a mil, it gives you a good idea for the next 2 years. So, those are some of the things. This also could be, he meant to say TIF instead of state, so I haven't had a chance to really ask John about it and go from there. But really, you're still looking anywhere from 9 and then raising another 4. So, could be 4, could be 9. It's right in there. We're at 5.2 right now. So, areas of concern. My TPP PI make whole payment. That's an area I need to double check. PI funds being used for debt. Future needs of the PI for the district, the permanent improvements, whether it's equipment, whether it's repairs. We've got a lot of asphalt out there that still need to be fixed. We've got textbooks that are going to need to be purchased. We've got computers that need to be fixed. We're going to have boilers and everything else out there for that. That's our equipment. Looking at the total needs of the district, not making bond payments, which can't happen, and the ramifications of the loss of the TPP and the hold harmless payments. So those are the areas that are concerning to us. We have met with some people to and have sent letters. Larry sent you the information on what we sent to Representative Amstutz and Tim Keene about this because of the loss of that $250,000 in PI for TPP. Also, the ramifications of how nobody ever thought about looking at what happens when you are in a district like we are that is highly using the TPP, highly dependent of the TPP, for when we built the buildings, and now what's happening. So those ramifications, are we unique in that realm? Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't know of hardly any districts that were A, growing like we were back in the early 2000s and had the same dependency on TPP that we have. And so those areas that we need to really look at, and because of the loss of that extra $250,000 each year, next year and the following year, and if we actually lose the extra $250,000 the following 2 years, we go from collecting almost $4 million in PI to less than $3 million, or right around $3 million. So that $1 million that we could use for computers and equipment and repairs is gone, and we won't be able to get it back.
Okay. Well, when are we going to have to do something?
Well, we need to meet with Andrea to see what's going on with the TIF.
Okay.
And it will be up to her as to what we do, and we'll have to let her know before the end of the year, probably October, and I'm not sure exactly when she'll need that information on what we need to do. So we're working with her. She's been great so far and trying to get all this information done. It's been a big project for her, and it's been, you know, it's one of those things. The Board of Revision last year, because of we filed on quite a few of the all the places out in Coleman's Crossing last year through the Board of Revisions because we felt that the values were not correct. We settled with several of them. We have more Board of Revisions to go through this year, probably a whole day's worth in July that I'll be sitting in on. Not on all of them, but most of the day I'll be there looking to see what they say, if they agree with the property owners. We've had counter complaints. You can make a counter complaint or a complaint as a taxpayer within a within the county on somebody else's property if you do not feel that it's valued at the correct amount. So there's been several of those that have happened. So that will be.
So I can file one if Tracy's not paying enough taxes.
You betcha.
We'll see ya.
So
is that on residential or is that just on commercial?
The ones that we file on are on commercial only. We have not filed on any residentials.
And there's a limit. I mean,
it's got to be a $17,500 or $17,000 something that you feel that it should be changed, lowered, or raised.
And the ones that you did rectify, that was where we had like one side of the street was worth 452 and the other side 1,000. Remember?
Yeah.
That number for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of the street was worth like 7,800.
Yes.
Something
yes,
like that.
Something
yes,
ridiculous.
Exactly.
Like
or one side of the street had a $4,000 value per acre and the other side was $450,000.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
yes. We had to hire, we split the cost between the city and the school district of hiring a appraisal company along with our legal firm that we use for those purposes to make sure that we had the right numbers, because you can't just go in there and say, I think. You've got to have your numbers, and they did an excellent job.
But that's
job.
Not just the school district, that's the city and the county and everybody else.
That's everybody that collects taxes, right?
Yes.
Well, that was quite a boot camp on the PI. So when are you going to come back to the board again then, and kind of so we know what Andrew says and what kind of where we're at on
probably
that?
Probably, if I know we've got Board of Revisions in July, so it'll probably be August.
Okay. So we'll look for something in August, kind of maybe when we'll have to really set our course.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else have any other questions on that? I see you down there thinking.
I'm just trying to think of how I didn't want to ask a question that is already covered, but I probably will.
That's right.
How quickly, like, what's the worst case scenario for how quickly we might need to act on rectifying this, like a change in terms of putting out a levy or increasing?
Well, we don't have to put out a levy on bonds.
You can just increase.
It's automatic. The county auditor has to, by law, it's a state statute that says they cannot let us go. They will have to raise the property millage rates. So the next time that they would be able to raise those rates would be for collection in January, starting January of 2012.
Okay, so that's possible that January
yes.
of 2012
yes.
see an increase.
Yes.
And our only way of preventing that or stopping that is, I guess, what are some ways of stopping that? We don't have the money.
Using PI.
You can't use general fund monies for
you
that, right?
You cannot, no. Not, well, how are you going to do that?
Well, no, I was just saying, I mean.
Yeah.
You talked about refinancing. Where are we at?
We cannot refinance until, like, December of next year. And so we're going to look at it. We definitely are looking at everything on that.
What's our rate right now?
I couldn't tell you exactly. I think 5%, maybe 4 or 5%. I'm not sure exactly, but.
Okay.
But some of them, and it's like a piecemeal type thing that we can do. So.
Is there any other questions?
Sure.
Sure? About that?
Yeah, not right now.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, well, thank you for putting that together. Yes. Yes, I agree. So if there's no more questions on that, then we are going to move into executive. We are going to vote on it is what we're going to do.
I have a question about the forecast. I saw that there was like a uniform fund or something that was put in there, and we probably voted on it at some point. So
you want to talk about the uniform school supply account?
Yeah, I was looking at those numbers. I saw the revenue went up. I looked at the back pages. I saw those in there, and I just...
We moved from having a uniform school supply account to making those fee accounts out of the general fund. And the reason we did that was because of the fact that we have to supplement that fund for the students that are on free lunches. We have to pay for those. So what we've done is given each building their own special cost center within the general fund, and that's where their fee and workbook numbers. So those are going to inflate a little bit our revenue and our expenditures in the general fund for this year, and then once they're in there, then it's going to be. One fund, there's like $60,000 that was left over from years prior, so I'm just going to use that for if anybody gets in the red next year to pay them out of that fund and make sure that those funds stay.
How much did that increase over the past year? Are we up to like 25% of the students?
Oh, of students for the
free and reduced lunch?
I'm thinking we're close to that.
Not a lot.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, I think we're at right around the 25%. I can't remember exactly.
I know that's what Joanne is going. She came and gave that presentation.
Yeah,
we're pretty close to that. What
we're real close to that right now, the free and reduced. I'm not sure exactly what the free numbers are.
So the net impact to the net impact to our 5-year forecast, for putting that in there, should it just wash out expenses and revenue?
Mm-hmm. It should. Although we've gotten more revenue in because there was that extra money sitting in that account, and I moved it all into
that $70,000.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe I'll ask you a question about how it's entered in.
It's under other.
What's that?
Other.
Yeah, I see it in there. I saw it in the first column, and I thought maybe I would expect to see it taken out in the second column.
No, because you're going to have that all the time now.
Okay. Is everybody all right then? Then we need to approve the treasurer's report. So I move that we approve items A through D, from the items submitted by the treasurer.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mady?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Now we are going into executive session. So I move that we move into executive session at 8:10, and we will be back when we're done to finish up the rest of our business. Any second?
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mady?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Freudenberg?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, we are in executive session. Well, we will be.
Yeah.
We're going in together.
Oh, we're sleep.
Yeah. Probably easier for us to leave then. Okay, you all gonna have to move out in the parking lot. Sorry. No. Nope, we'll come grab it. Oops, yes.